Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the newest edition of the Couples TV Show. This is Gregory Clark Sr. Have an enjoyable President's Day weekend, and it's my pleasure and my honor to introduce my partner in life, Cheryl Clark.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. Happy Monday to everyone. Thank you for joining us once again on the Couples TV Show.
And one of the things that we would love to allow you to be a part of is that you definitely can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Greg and Cheryl Clark. That's, again, facebook.com/ Greg and Cheryl Clark. Also, the Couples TV Show actually has a page of its own, and you can go to that page by going to facebook.com/ The Couples TV Show. And also, we have a lot of things coming down the pike. My wife has been diligently setting up some things in the background. You want to give them a little heads up to some of the things that may be coming in the near future, Cheryl?
Not maybe, but is coming in the near future. We are so excited about what's happening and the explosion of GregandCheryl.com. That's about to come. That's first and foremost. In the beginning of March, our website should be live and active, and you'll be able to go there and interact and see your comments and get product and all that good stuff and just connect with us on a more personal level other than just Facebook and Twitter. We're also going to be going to do something very special in the beginning of May, and we will be sending that out. We are going to have our first couples retreat. And I think that
Woo-hoo!
This is going to, yes, we are very excited about that. And it's only limited to 10 couples. So we are limiting it, and it will be a very intimate time, and it's going to be a very empowering time. But during that time, we're going to equip you with the things that you need to be successful in either your marriage, if you're engaged. And I think if someone is engaged, this is going to be a great retreat for you to come to, because sometimes the foundation, if you started off right, not if you started off right, the thing is, when you have the foundational principles to work in a marriage or in a relationship, it will stand the test of time. Why do you say that? How do I know that? We are living proof.
We are?
We are definitely living proof of that. And we're going to be, if you know those who are tuning in for the first time, we are going to be celebrating our 20th year of marriage and almost over 25 years of knowing each other. And we have had some hurdles and obstacles that has given us to the point that we are where we are today through the foundational principles that we have gathered throughout the years. And if you don't have that, you're going to go through some things. And you may just end up like most of the country, 55% of married couples end in divorce. And why?
Again?
55% of married couples in America end in divorce.
Wow, everybody's shacking up.
And it's not about, I don't believe that we don't go into a marriage saying that we're going to get a divorce. I don't think that's our initial plan. But if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. Okay?
Well, that's definitely true. And as my wife gave the statistic, it's very interesting to see that with this day and time and age, marriages or relationships in general are not really as respected as they used to be. It used to be a strong foundation in our community for male and a female to get together, you know, after a courtship period and, you know, build a family together. And these days, especially within certain communities in our country, that dynamic is disappearing. And one of the things that we definitely do here at GregAndCherylClark.com is that we would like to reverse the trend. It's about, you know, sharing the information that could be beneficial. It's about putting the task back in our hands and not just waiting for someone else to say, okay, I'm going to wait for you to do it. It's time for us to step up to the forefront and to see and to say that it's time to reaffirm and re-strengthen our vast, proud communities at hand.
And you know, Greg, the African American community, it was back in slavery days, there was such a strong bond of being married, because back then we could not be married, legally be married. And I think as we find out of that history, I remember my grandparents being married a very long time. So it was, they married over 50 years when they made their transition. They were married over 50 years. And it was a bond between their commitment, no matter what they've been through. It was something that had them, that they could make that commitment. They were going to stand by it, and they were going to work through it. And it's very easy for us today to throw in the towel over things that can be overcome over time if we put the work into it. And I think a lot of times with everything, with technology and the century that we're in, we're just everything is just vastly so quick, that the process of time to make a successful marriage, and what we're talking about today is secrets of a successful couple, is something that takes over time, and it's a process. It's a process to build strong families, strong relationships, strong children, strong businesses. And it's our responsibility. Okay?
Well, definitely it's our responsibility, and we're getting back to the tome of each one teach one, and each one is being respectful and responsible for each other. So it's no more of, oh, well, it's just your problem. Eventually your problem becomes my problem, because if we can't effectively get our community back to the level that it once was, where we were a little bit more self-sufficient. I know I heard another thought today about how women are becoming more and more the breadwinners, and that is to say that is becoming inherently true because of some of the miscues and the misguidedness that has happened within our own community over the past couple of decades. As men abdicated their positions in the home or within the family structure, then it became the woman's responsibility, which I have to admit that they've done a tremendous job to the best of their ability to, you know, play mother and father. And so now that we want to reshift that energy away from just the shacking up and not building something together and putting a strong structure up for the next generation to see, and that is one of the main reasons why the couple's TV show was started with Genesis, which was the genesis of the GregAndCherylClark.com project, which, is, as we stated before, which will be beneficial to not only ourselves, but to families and communities at large. So without further ado, it's my pleasure, as we start over the next 3 weeks, we're going to share with you the 7 secrets of a successful couple. Tonight is the part one edition, and the reason why we're going to take our time, because there are too many times when information is being shared, and as my wife attested to, in this fast-paced internet, everybody wants things so quickly, so fast, and everything has to be rush. And a lot of times, I'm starting to learn as I get older how more and more I'm not dealing with fast food, and I'd rather sit down for a good cooked meal by a great chef that's going to take his time, pour his love into it, and then it's going to be a beneficial part of the cells in my body. And so that's definitely what we're going to do over these next 3 weeks. So, again, topic of discussion is the 7 secrets of a successful couple. Now, one of the things, and then I'll toss it over to my wife, one of the greatest gifts that can happen is when a couple decides to join their gifts and talents together to rise up and take their place in the marketplace. Now, that marketplace could be just in general as letting everyone know that you are in a relationship. It could be in the marketplace of business where the power of the couple can come to fruition as it's building something that can hopefully translate into legacy. And also in terms of just having a beneficial life. It's something great about having that person that you can rely on and lean on and have those attributes that you're not in this thing by yourself. And one of the things that I understand is that as a husband and wife team or in this day and time, you know, those who consider themselves just as partners, you have the ability to show yourself to be helpful to each other.
Yes.
And we believe that in time, it is time to take back our marriages, our family structures, and as we stated earlier, we're helping to show that it's time to take the responsibility of eventually creating your own entity, your own enterprise, your own business, because through that, legacies are born. See, one of the things that we will share, we won't really jump into it and spend too much time on it during these next 3 weeks, but there will be a time where we'll show you the reason why we stress here, especially between me and Cheryl at gregandcherylclark.com about entrepreneurship, is that in order for a community to be strong, you have to have businesses. You have to have the ability of some level of commerce, and with that commerce allows you to be able to effectively grow and work with others and in the long run, hopefully create a legacy that your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren can be proud of and continue to hold on to. So as a secret, the seven secrets of a successful couple, we know this is going to be a lot of meat. So at times if you take notes, and I know my wife now is into this journal thing, which we were, you know, into a couple of years ago, but now we're reaffirming that status. So, you know, make sure you have your books out, take some notes, because not everything that we'll share over these 3 weeks, it'll hit you. But don't worry, there will be ample opportunities at other times to be able to hear and to effectively receive this message for your own benefit. So, Cheryl, we're at the first part of our first secret. What is that first secret?
Well, the first secret, before we get into the first secret, I just wanted to talk a little to my ladies. I wanted to talk about, I know a lot of women out there today may be single parents or whatever the case may be, or may have issues surrounding their men. And now why I will say that is because we tend to try to take care of everything in the home and everything else and do this and do that. But I want you to understand, as we become a stronger couple, you're going to find it to be quite easier to do it as a team. And why I say that,
Say that again.
It's easier to do it as a team. It's easy to become as a team, and if we stop doing things by ourselves. Now, the reason why I'm directing this to the women is because I used to do that a lot. I used to take on all the cares of everything and negate that God gave me my husband for a reason. Now, my husband, if you know me personally, I am a person that is a very go-getter. And my husband's very laid back. But the thing is, when you learn your spouse, you know what to do and work in synergy as a team. And I always say that if God gave me my husband, God gave us to each other, and we are to be a supportive unit to each other of love and respect. And I think as we build a foundation, we can then, now our intentions will be of being a team, playing on a team, instead of being an island. So one of the forms of a successful couple, which, and please get your notes out, that we're going to be starting with, number one, be confident.
Uh-oh.
Be confident.
Uh-oh.
And what do I mean by being confident? Your husband and wife needs to know that they have unconditional love from you.
Uh-oh, say that again.
To your spouse.
Say that again.
Your husband and wife needs to know. If your husband and wife team or you're getting ready to be married or you're in a relationship, they need to know it's unconditional love. And to have unconditional love, what I mean by that is,
hey,
is that you love them with all and all the in all the imperfections, basically.
The rollers and the coasters?
And you love them in their imperfections. My husband is very smart with numbers, but he sometimes has his weaknesses there. But I love him for that. Through it, it doesn't matter. He is very intelligent when it comes down to certain things that he does. Real good. But there's certain things that he may have that I'm like, okay, well, why couldn't he fix the light in the bathroom? That's not his forte. But the point is that we love our spouse unconditionally for the things that they could do above and beyond as well. And it's not just the things that they can do. It's what's inside of them. And there have been many of times that I didn't get unconditional love from family members, co-workers, or even clergymen.
Uh-oh.
So when we go deeper, the deeper thing is to know that the good news is that God has you with a shining love, and then your spouse has you. But sometimes we try to put that unconditional, we don't know what unconditional love is. It's loving through that person through their fault. But when we could build a foundation, a solid foundation, then we could love that person unconditionally.
So basically, Cheryl, you're saying that my imperfections are, or I should say, because I don't like to say the word weaknesses, but the things that I'm not strong in, you technically are, if I'm dealing with you through unconditional love and you have my back, that means you more or less have those attributes that I may not necessarily have. And one of the things that I love about this first secret of being a successful couple when it comes to being confident, confidence a lot of times starts within you.
Mm-hmm.
At times, if you go into a relationship, now, not saying that, as my wife stated, there are certain things that I know my wife can run circles around me with, but I have no problem with that. Because, see, I don't have an ego in that particular situation. And then sometimes as men, and I can speak to the men in this case, is that sometimes we can allow our ego to get in the way of situations that may occur, and you just want to prove that you're the man. And it's not, maybe technically it's not for you to deal with. See, that becomes with age and wisdom.
Because it wasn't always that way.
Yeah, and when it comes down to it, is that when you start to not allow yourself to feel you're digressing and you don't have any confidence in the situation, but you understand that, wait a minute, I'm not here to know everything. I'm not here to do everything. I'm not here just to prove that I'm Superman or I'm Wonder Woman. This is about, wait a minute, I know my spouse, my partner is a little bit stronger than me in this. Yo, you give them the forefront. You give them the opportunity to shine, because what ends up happening, that starts to, when you don't allow your spouse to be strong in a section of your relationship, of your life, of your business, of anything that's dealing with in reference to your couple, if you're not allowing your spouse to actually shine in that, you're actually showing how lack of confidence you have in yourself.
Mm.
Because you're trying to overtly prove, oh, I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do this. There was even a situation where I was my wife brought to my attention that I may be technically sound in a lot of things, and I'm very adept when it comes to technology, but there were certain things that I was almost starting to overwhelm myself in. And then what would happen is I can either stay in my ego and be like, wait a minute, I know I can handle this. I know I can do this particular exercise or whatever, or use the wisdom and not allow my ego to digress and be like, you know what, let's farm that thing out. Let someone else who has more of a time, because we are building so many different, you know, we have our hands in so many different pots in, at one particular time. And instead of me trying to be Superman just to prove that I can do that, I understood that I had to allow my ego and be confident in myself and be confident in the wisdom that my wife was sharing with me to say that, you know what? Yeah, maybe we need to, you know, we're gonna outsource that, and then we'll be able to do other things, and we'll be able to keep ourselves on task. So confidence has a lot to do with the individual at heart. If you're not confident in yourself, you're going to try to step on your partner's or your spouse's toes. And that's just been proven over and over and over again. And one of the things that we're here to share with you, to help you grow in, is that me coming from the male perspective, I can stand in another man's face and tell him straight up, son, gentleman, sir, calm down. If you have a partner and you know that she has your back, sometimes don't allow yourself to shoot yourself in the foot. Why is that? Because if you're confident in yourself and you have a confident woman on your side and you know that she has attributes and things that she's bringing to the table that's going to help you overall, that you're not sitting there trying to be, you know, trying to do everything and trying to prove that you're, as my wife stated earlier, about being an island. You're not meant to be an island. That's why you're a couple.
Mm.
Now, by you being a couple, you take that tome away and say, you know what? You got this, honey. And you step back. But you're not stepping back in a level of fear or a level of cowardness. No, you're stepping back and actually in a level of strength. Because if you have the ability to say behind, they used to say behind every strong man is a strong woman. But in this day and age, and even from what I've seen from my wife giving birth to all six of my kids, to some of the things I've seen other women do and just respect what they bring to the table, I believe the motion now and as we move through the 21st century is becoming more and more commonplace, or in some aspects even the woman is ahead, but beside any strong male, there's a strong female. And if your female is strong, that means you'll probably end up with some strong kids. If you have some strong kids, that means your legacy might have the ability to stand the test of time. And that's what we're about. We're about here helping you share the fundamentals of allowing yourself to grow, not to step on anyone else's toes, and that confidence comes off and as a level of strength. Now, I know my wife may jump into this before I throw it back to her. Don't allow your confidence to turn into arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow your confidence to end up turning into arrogance, because now it's starting to become messy. Now it's like, oh, well, because I can do all these things, and now I can do this, and I can do that. Now, whoa, now you're smelling yourself. Now you're putting yourself in a particular aspect where you may become destructive to the situation, even though you're attempting to be confident. So that's why we're going to deal with this over the next couple of weeks. But believe you, as one male talking to another male, be understanding that if you pick the right woman and you have a strong woman, there are certain things that she's going to shine better than you are. And if anything, that shows the level of maturity and the level of common sense that you have, that you're not sitting there trying to do everything by yourself. Cheryl?
That's one thing I really can say that Greg and I have learned over time, because we were our worst enemy, and we were fighting each other to do something that was already ordained, I believe, in time. As Greg said, that we get so bottled down or competing, and the ego gets in play, but a lot of times that's why when we're not building the foundation correctly. And when you rush and build a foundation, you may not be able to stand the test of time. So I know over the past couple of weeks here in New York City where we reside, we have had four major snowstorms. Now, I was looking at the news, and I saw a lot of houses that collapsed. Their roof collapsed because it's not the weight. It cannot stand the weight of the snow. So if you build correctly, and sometimes, and most
sometimes after you finish that building, after you finish that building, it needs maintenance.
Hmm.
So with that building needing maintenance, you have to sometimes make sure you check the roof, you check the pipes, you check the plumbing, you check the walls. You're going to check everything. You're going to check everything within the house, outside the house, and around the house because you want to, my mother always said, prevention is better than cure. So if you are building a building, so let's go all the way back. Before you even build, what is something that you need to have? You need to have a plan. The architect needs to come in.
Wow.
If you build, if you have 15,000 square feet to build a building and the land cannot hold a skyscraper on that particular land, and then you have some type of sewage problem or something going on and the soil can't hold it, what's going to happen is the building is going to collapse. So you not only have to get a surveyor of land, you also have to get an architect. Then you have to get approval from the city. So before you even build a foundation, you need to have some approval.
Wow.
Of some sort. Who are you talking to? Who's in your ear? Building your foundation, what are you building your foundation on? Do you know who you're even going to marry? Now, if you are in a relationship with your spouse, there's something there that you guys saw. You saw something. I saw something in my husband. He saw something in me. That we decided, we didn't even know what we were doing, actually. And that kind of, I think it was, I believe it was God ordained, because the simple fact that I was 16 when I met him, he was 18, and we were young, and we were, and you know, thank God we were in a church, and there were things happening, and we got married really young. And but one thing that we did say is that we would never, ever part. And believe me, there has been some times that Greg and I have been separated. And the point is, we didn't know how we were going to get back there. But the point is that we built a foundation from the beginning on our basic morals, our basic things that we said we were going to do together to stand the test of time. It has not been easy. Winds have came. Storms have come. But we had to learn how to maintain it and continue to do maintenance. And I, during that time, I had to learn to love him through his faults and imperfection and vice versa. I am not perfect. Greg is not perfect. We learn how to roll on the roller coaster. We learn how to sometimes get off the ride. We learn for sometimes for him to drive and for me to drive. But then again, we also need to learn our roles and boundaries, what we get into. Because knowing your space and your place is confidence. You don't have to go into his space, meaning you don't have to go in his role, and he doesn't have to go in yours because you're confident in yours. But what happens is, from childhood, we bring things in, and we want our mate to fix it. And our mate is not a fixer. Your mate can't make you happy.
Say that one more time.
Your mate cannot make you happy.
And why is that?
Because he's not. That's not his job. That's not her job. Her job and his job is not to make you happy. He can't put a smile on your face. I want you to do an exercise right now where you are. Smile. Smile. Show your teeth. Show your pearly teeth. If you don't even have none, show them.
Mm-mm.
Smile. Now, did your husband or your wife have to come over there and make you smile? No. No. My husband said he read an article that, you know, it takes a lot more muscles for you to frown than for you to smile.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No one can make you unhappy but you. Successful couple. One thing about a successful couple, we're going to move on to the next point. But a confident couple is being confident within yourself first. Within yourself first. Because you cannot love another unless you love yourself. Love yourself first. Learn that you have imperfections. Learn what they are. And build a foundation that is instructed. Cannot be broken.
That is very powerful. And as she stated, you know, confidence, and I'll keep, you know, hammering that point in, but in order for me to effectively love my wife, I have to love myself.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that I expect good for her if I don't expect good for myself. That is just universally crazy. You hear people all the time, oh, well, I'll do that, and I'll just stop. You're lying to yourself, and that's some of the reasons why certain people end up not being successful. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to stop within yourself and be honest with yourself, and that's my main tone. Sometimes being honest with yourself hurts, and you will sit there and be like, wait a minute, I'm really this type of person and that type of person. Yes, because now as we start to delve deep and we start to peel back all the layers and we can get to the real rooty-tooty, as some of the older people would say, you know, you get to the real root of the situation, then we can be like, okay, here's the situation. Now we can start fixing it from this point, and then as we start putting all the layers back on, everything is going to work itself out. So if you do not effectively love yourself and have confidence in yourself, you do not have confidence in your relationship, you do not have confidence in your partner / spouse. And that's coming from me, and that's just being universally truthful. Now, by you allowing yourself to have that level of confidence, that level of ambition, that drive, that passion within inside of you to motivate yourself to move forward, then you'll start to see, as long as you have that passion inside yourself, it's going to outpicture itself out of you. Your spouse, if your spouse is at the same level where their stuff is outpicturing out of them, next you know, as my wife, as we're about to go to the second point, it flows right into the second point. And the second secret of a successful couple is to be a fearless couple. And Cheryl, would you like to share with the people what does it mean to be a fearless couple in order to be successful?
Oh, yes, definitely. Something that we know, it's normal to have some type of fear. It is very natural.
Don't live through it.
Yes, it's very natural to have some type of fear, but you do not let the fear paralyze you. And that's the thing, is that a lot of times in marriages, or just people in general, in life in general, you let fear, how many people let fear stop them from doing something new or thinking something new or being something new?
No, I want to jump in real quick. The reason, see, when you allow fear, when you start living through your fear, then you cannot grow with the times. There's a reason why the dinosaurs died off, or you may have not, no one's driving around in the Edsel and things are like that nature, or DeLorean is not as much commonplace as it was in, say, the 60s, 70s, and the 80s. What is this? What are these particular tones? These are things that have went by the wayside. And at times when you allow fear to come into play, it starts to negate all the positive process that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're looking at it from a standpoint of, as my wife would say, it's my laid backness is not about strategicness. See, I may be laid back, but I'm very strategic with me being laid back. I may not be as outwardly forward as my wife, because see, that's her strong suit. My strong suit is that when you turn around and you look at the structure and you're wondering why the structure is fundamentally sound, that's where I'm good at. So when you don't live in that type of fear of worrying about who is doing this, who is doing that, who's worrying about what and this and the third, you're almost you're starting to paralyze your own relationship.
Mm.
Because now, as you're navigating yourself to move forward and to grow and to be successful, you're actually shooting yourself in the foot, and the only person you can do is, as my wife said, when she was telling you about smiling, I can tell you to pick up the same mirror or stand in front of the mirror and just say, look in the mirror, and I can tell you who your enemy is. I can tell you, as you look in the mirror, I can tell you who your enemy is. If you feel that your life is not where it's supposed to be, or you feel as a couple you're not doing the things that you're supposed to do, we can tell you, go look in the mirror, and we can tell you who the enemy is. And sometimes people don't want to hear that, but it's the fundamental truth. You stop you. You living in this passivity and allowing fear to remain a resonant in your mind or resonant in your relationship, and the long run is going to destroy what you're attempting to build. Cheryl?
Yeah, I just wanted to share a story about when I was paralyzed in fear, and this was recently. Greg and I were called to speak, and I was shaking in my boots. And literally, I had a pair of boots that day. It was really cold outside, and you ever heard that song, "These boots are made for walking"? I said, "These boots are made for running." So, and, you know, I remember the man went up and read our bio and stuff like that and handed over the microphone. And I was paralyzed in fear. I even forgot my name. Nothing came out of my mouth. And most people didn't even know who we were in that room. Then inside of me, as I looked and I locked eyes with my husband, and I remember the prayer before we went out, and I remembered that this was our destiny, what we were called to do. We were prepared for a time as of this, right then. And can I tell you, we began to a bold spirit became to come over both of us, I believe. I don't know about you, Greg. It seemed like we had both had something going on that day. And I think we had some type of synergy that at the end of that workshop, everyone was signing up. They were signing up. They were signing up. And this was something that this was our first time out. We didn't know anything, nothing. Now, I want to talk about this is like a spiritual definition of synergy. And like I said, that we work in synergy with each other. It's when an individual can achieve through combining the human will with a divine grace.
Mm.
Combination of combining the human will and a divine grace. When two or more things are working together for the fruit of the greater good of others. I thought that was so great. It's good to know that when you're working for the greater good for others, and that you're in this divine power that nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. And that's when you know that you are building up with a spirit and you're walking into your divine purpose. I mean, that for me, that was a time that I knew we were on to something big. When do you realize, as this is a divine spirit, a spiritual law, a principle here for couples, successful couples, that when God has a plan for you, nobody can stop you. So be fearless. Step out and be fearless. The difference between a fearless couple and a person that doesn't have fear, that does have fear, is that it will disappear over time if you could just step out.
So you mean to tell me if you have the ability just to go forth, the ability to not allow the fear to traumatize you, to
paralyze you,
to keep you locked up in a particular moment, that you have the ability to see yourself through. See, there are times, and as my wife has been sharing, there are times you have to understand, there are certain situations that come about or come in your aura to see what you're going to call it.
Mm.
When my wife said that she felt that little shingle of fear come over her at the beginning of that particular workshop, that was her. It was waiting for the universe was waiting for her to see what she was going to call it.
Mm.
She could have been paralyzed and she could have been stuck. Okay, I'm nervous. I'm gonna say in this particular tone and I'm not gonna say anything, or I'm going to transverse this and be like, I'm gonna step on fear or step on the thing that. The fear that's trying or attempting to appear, and I'm going to step over it and use it as a stepping stone towards my greater good. And one of the things you have to understand as being a successful couple or seeing yourself as a success as a couple, you have to understand that there's going to be too many times, too many situations where pitfalls may appear, but it's up to you to realize and understand how you're going to call it and what you're going to call it. Now, if you call it the right thing, it becomes a learning experience, and you start to understand that there's no power that can stop you unless you are stopping yourself. And you have to realize, and the realization sometimes is not an easy one to get to the point, but when you allow yourself to be fearless, it's not that you're walking around and you think you're impervious and no one can physically hurt you or mentally hurt you. No, that's not the fearless that we're talking about. We're talking about walking in strength, knowing that as a couple, as you're navigating this thing called life together,
mm.
that no one's going to get in between you.
Mm.
No one can, cut asunder
mm-hmm.
what has been put together. No one can come tell you that, I saw your woman doing X, Y, and Z. And at the same time for the female, I saw your man doing X, Y, Z. If you know your man or if you know your woman, you know that not to be true. Now, if there's anything that can come into commonplace in the middle of that, then first thing, before you even check that other person, you need to check yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of being a couple. Before I'm going to jump down and accuse, I heard you was blah, 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 blah. Stop. Stop for a moment. Remember, we're dealing with fearlessness as a couple. Stop for a moment. Check yourself. What is it in me that I feel that I have to be chasing the person who's supposed to be my best friend about a situation that I heard? Now, what did you make the right choice? And remember, everything that you are pitching, everything that you deal with, as much as that my wife has a little idiosyncrasy, she's just nothing but an out-pitching of me, and vice versa. I'm just an out-pitching of her. And that's where the yin and the yang comes into play. So when you start going through dealing with fear becoming a part of your relationship, it destroys all the positive processes that occur and will occur.
Mm-hmm.
See, the future may not have been written yet, but if you deal with a positive present, believe me, your future should be bright. And so when you hear us talk about fearlessness, don't walk around act like, you can beat everybody up and, you're back in, as a little kid again and you think you're the bully of the block. No. That's not the type of fearless we're talking about. We're talking about the type of fearless that you know that the person that you're with is someone that you're ready to build with. And by building with them, you're going to have a successful life. Cheryl?
Absolutely. That's so true. And I think when we come to the ending of this, the secret, the point is that when you begin to have a connection of synergy with your spouse, you're able now to combine your forces together with divine grace on top to now push through things together. You know that if you're able to take your husband's hands and your hands together, you have four to push through. I think four is better than two.
Mm.
And why we are taking this platform to now speak to this thing is because families are being destroyed.
Come on.
Homes are being broken up over things. If we just take time to build that foundation,
have maintenance, get confidence, and be fearless in our relationship. Stop walking in our egos. And know without a shadow of a doubt, person, for me, that now I'm going to take my first steps in with him and God together and go fearlessly in and push past the fear.
I know I was almost about to overtalk my wife, but
go ahead, go ahead.
I just thought about this point, and it goes and is lock, stock, and barrel with this second secret of being a successful couple,
mm-hmm.
and is that without the couple being successful or living without fear, it translates to the children.
Mm.
And you're wondering why that, as we talk about our community,
mm-hmm.
wondering why
mm-hmm.
our communities are not flowing in the
mm-hmm.
direction or in the ways that we feel that they should be flowing towards. It all starts and ends with that union. You see, the children didn't ask to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Those experiences, those were gifts given to you based upon you coming together with another individual. Now, if you're not fundamentally sound in how you're navigating yourself, you can't get upset with your children for doing some of the things that you may not expect them to do or don't want them to do. I've seen it time and time again as me being an educator, and as Cheryl stated, you know, we own a couple of daycares, and there have been times that we've seen individuals and we see them expecting their kids to do certain things that they don't do.
Mm.
That's not being mimicked. That's not being taught. But then you turn around and you get mad at the child for not doing something that you expect when you're not doing it. And that's part of being fearless. See, if you're given at least the right gaze for your children who are coming out of this union to look upon, then there's less of an opportunity for drama to come into play. Because, see, if the kids understand, says, wait a minute, we can't disrespect mommy or daddy.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be respectful to the people in our neighborhood. We have to be respectful to our teachers. And we have to do what we're supposed to do because our job is a student, so our numbers have to be right. That means you have to come home with good grades. If the foundation is structured and there's no fear floating around in the parents, them kids know they can't fly. I've seen kids in schools and outside of schools where I can tell that they're running their parents roughshod all over the place. Why? Because the parents are not fundamentally sound. And it's not about intelligence. See, before someone listens to this CD or listens to this broadcast and starts saying, you're talking about, no, it has nothing to do with intelligence. Because some of the greatest people who have grown up individuals into successful positions and have done mind-boggling things to change the world, not necessarily went through academia like some of others. I've seen people who, you know, their parents were third and fourth grade best because they were mm-hmm. but their circumstances led them to do other things as children, but yet and still they raise up a family of strong-willed individuals who became world changers. So don't get it caught up that, you know, we're basing things on intelligence. No, it's just about there's something about coming together and that strength of coming together and that responsibility of knowing I'm here for you and you're here for me. And then when that translates down to your kids and your kids understand where they have to continue this tome and there's certain expectations of them that is merited out, and it becomes so empowering is that now you see that what these two individuals who started this family in fear may not have had and may not be the richest people in the world, but by them structuring their family with love and removing fear, having fear not be a part of the equation, you start to see that there's nothing you cannot do. Cheryl?
Yeah, that's, Greg, you hit it on the point. there is like we're probably going to stop here with the.
Well, we have a couple of minutes, but this,
with
this,
the
with today's because like
those two.
Yeah,
we're going to stop here with those two, and just to do a little recap of to those two. Please write down the first one for Secrets of a Successful Couple. Is one, be confident. Be confident. show your husband or your wife unconditional love. You're not perfect. He's not perfect. Love them through their imperfections.
Hmm.
Now, it's going to take time. It's going to take time, especially when you are carrying so much maybe baggage from your childhood, from his childhood. So what? We all had stuff.
Hmm.
Got it. Got it. I had daddy issues. I had things going on with me. And I'm not negating that it wasn't rough. I'm not saying that it wasn't rough. But sometimes we need to learn how to be confident and not stay in that roughness.
Wow. Very good.
Because what you're doing is killing your present.
Mm. Say that one more time.
We need to learn to push through what happened to the past. We're going to get into that in the next couple of weeks. How to push through our past because it's killing our future. Your spouse did not, even if you were molested by a family member, and you take it out on your spouse. Yes, that was a horrible thing that has happened. But what we have to learn how to do is get the tools of how to push past that and be confident in where you are today.
Mm.
Because things don't happen to you. Things happen to you for a reason. So that goes into number two, to be a fearless couple. And even if you're not married today, be fearless where you are now. If you learn to be fearless as an individual, when you go into that marriage, you learn how to be fearless together with someone else.
Wow.
So to do a recap, confidence equals fearless as an individual. Now, when you put that together with your spouse, you have two fearless people that's confident, that's ready to give their gifts and talents to others, whatever it may be in the marketplace, to be successful. Do you know that if you are insecure, you raise insecure children?
Come on. If you have no level of confidence, you cannot expect your kids to be confident.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not about raising up kids to be arrogant or to be disrespectful. That confidence comes from the ability of saying or seeing that they have the ability to continue what you have started.
Mm-hmm.
And as my wife stated, we're going to go into that over the next couple of weeks. But remember, we'll leave this as one of the extra keys from these first two points and first two secrets of today, is that if you're running in fear, your kids are going to be in fear.
Mm.
If you're running in fearlessness and you're setting the right tone, then there's no reason for fear to run rampant within your home. If you put the right structure and the right confidence levels in your children, which are built on from the confidence levels that you have within yourself, then you're going to have a mighty, mighty legacy to have. And over these next couple of weeks and sharing this information and other ways for you to receive this information, it is more paramount for us today to share this information, because if someone's not going to talk to us, then we have no one to blame for ourselves for the re-energizing of our communities.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with, and it all boils down to how we are structured as a couple. So you have a couple of minutes left in today's portion, but you have to make sure being confident starts with the ability to be confident within yourself. I remember, you know, attempting to date this young lady so many years ago, and one of the things I'm confident enough to say, you know, it wasn't that she was physically attracted to me. I'm not saying I was the Adonis. I wasn't, you know, Prometheus. But the level of my confidence and the level of me, at least
that's true,
in my in my stead. I didn't walk around with my head down.
That's true.
I didn't walk around, you know what I'm saying, oh, woe is me. No, this is me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not perfect. I don't have the perfect body. But I can treat you okay if, you know, we're building something together.
That is true.
And sometimes that goes back to how you even approach, and as my wife was stating earlier, how you even approach the potential person that you're going to. Because even these days, you know, females approach men. If you go there, you know, meek and mild, you might be taken advantage of. If you go in there confidence and at least the ability to say, you know, this is what I'm about, this is who I am, and you come in there with not so much exposing your whole self, but at least with the book being able to be opened.
You know, I wanted to say something about what you said before we go off, Greg. You said something, you came and you said you wasn't an Adonis or whatever, and I really wasn't attracted to you. The point is that you're going to, God may send you somebody that you may not be attracted to, but because you're in the looks and you're into this, so you may be missing your blessing.
Okay.
You may be missing your blessing because I got a blessing. My husband treated me like, before he was my husband, he treated me like a queen. He honestly did. And the thing is that you were so hooked up, like today, in this day and age, oh my God, he lives so good, and he da, da, da. The thing is, you may be looking at your Prince Charming right in front of your face. Or your queen may be right in front of your face. And your good thing may be there. And I think that's why we last so long, is because he was physically attracted to me, but I wasn't physically attracted to him. I wasn't physically attracted to his inner. Greg had something about his inner for me, because I connect with spirit. And as a woman, we all know that we are inner. Even our genitalia is inner. So it's natural for a man to be physically attracted to us. What is it that you're seeing, the inner being of someone?
And not to overtalk my wife, but just because I was attracted to what I saw, in order to build something with her, I had to find something inside of her that was worthy of me to build with. And that's one of the things that we talk and say, I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, oh, yeah, I was just attracted to a man. No, of course. You know what I'm saying? I was a young man growing up, you know, I saw something that I liked. But even after you find something that you like visually, if you are looking for something that you really want to build with, you have to surpass the visual. Because now you have to start thinking about generationally, if you're thinking with the proper head. You start thinking generationally in reference to who it is that you ultimately would like to build to. Cheryl, we have about 2 minutes left or something like that. No, but we're so happy that you joined us here today on this episode. As we said, there's going to be definite opportunities to hear this on various different ways. And for those of you who wrote down your notes, you'll be able to you know, hear this over and over and over again. Those of you who receive it in different aspects, you'll be blessed in those particular avenues as well. So it's been a pleasure today on this Monday evening to spend part of our day with you, part of our time of growing and expressing and taking ourselves to the next step. This has been part one of the series, 7 Secrets of a Successful Couple. And we can't wait to, you know, start working on hammering down part two. So without further ado, this is Gregory Clark signing off.
This is Cheryl Clark. We'll see you next week.
And we thank you again. If you want to follow us, you can always go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Greg and Cheryl, C-L-A-R-K-E, Clark. That's, again, facebook.com/ Greg and Cheryl Clark. And also the particular Facebook page for this show is the Couples TV Show. So you just type in the Couples TV Show on Facebook. You'll be able to follow us. And also stay tuned. GregandCherylClark.com will definitely be live before you know it. So stay tuned for that as well. We thank you again. Blessings and peace.
Blessings and peace.